In this episode, we hear from the brilliant Steve Whitfield, who's an educational psychologist in Essex and is also now the lead for SEMH provision across the county. He talks to us about his educational journey, the Grow Project and TPP training. Steve, could you tell us a bit about your educational journey?
I'm in my 50s now, so my educational journey obviously started off at school, and I was really interested in human behaviour, which led me down the psychology route. And when I was at school, psychology was a very unknown subject. It's a very popular subject now. It wasn't a popular subject way back then. I think it only just come on the A-level curriculum. And at my school, it wasn't an A-level, so I didn't study it then. But I went to university and everybody thought, what's psychology? What are you going to be? You're going to be a mind reader. That was the typical response from my friends. But I went away to study psychology. Having left university with a psychology degree, there's always the question of what you then do with it. And I was always interested in education and children. And that led me down the path of doing educational psychology. So I then had to do a master's degree in educational psychology. And I did that at Southampton University. I had 3 great years down in Southampton and became an educational psychologist. But in between time, I taught, because at that time, as part of the training, you had to be a teacher. So I then did a bit of teaching and became an educational psychologist. That's where I'm at now. But since doing my master's degree in educational psychology, I've also done a master's degree in education, and I did that at Greenwich University just because I like studying and I like learning. And I had a bit of time before I had a family to be able to do a bit more. It's been more difficult when you've got a family to study. I never stop learning, because learning is a journey, and I'm always reading and writing and coming up with ideas and thoughts. That's my background. But ordinary lad at an ordinary school, enjoying learning, having parents who encourage me to learn as much as I can, and being committed to it is really where I'm at.
Yeah. First introduced to you, Steve, I was working at Marketfield, and I think you came in for a meeting with Gary, and he said about your work with the Grow Project. And I was really interested in how this works. So could you just tell everyone about the Grow Project and what it is?
Yeah, Grow came about because of my dissatisfaction, I guess, and my unease with the way we were working with children, particularly at the primary phase, who were at risk or being permanently excluded from their schools. And what we were doing as a local authority in Essex to support those children. And I just thought we could do so much better, knowing that there was plenty of evidence of that you can make a difference to children, young people, despite the challenges that they may face and their families may face, that we could do things differently. And actually, Grow started as a concept when I met a head teacher who had a similar set of values and beliefs to myself. We met in Clacton because he was asked to support a school that was struggling. He'd helped turn around other schools that had struggled in the same. So he was asked to go in and support that school. And him and I met. And one of the things that him and I got on well with, despite him being a Middlesbrough fan and me being a Sunderland supporter, we connected and we wanted to make a difference. And that's how Grow came about. And that, so next year will be the 10th year of Grow. So we'll hope to celebrate. So Grow is about supporting children and their families who either have been excluded or at risk of exclusion, and around helping to maintain their place in mainstream school, but also helping mainstream schools to help support them. So Grow set on some really strong values and beliefs around understanding behaviour rather than just managing behaviour. It's around staff being compassionate and kind, connecting and belonging, and starting with that as a safe place in order to build really strong relationships with these children and with their families, in order to get them back on track, if you like, to phrase. So we started very small way back in 2011 in Clacton with one provision and 2 members of staff. And now 2020, we've got provisions in Clacton, 2 provisions in Clacton, 2 provisions in Colchester, a provision in Braintree, a provision in Chelmsford, and a provision in Harlow. So we've got the model across three quadrants in Essex, and this September we're starting a secondary provision as a bit of an experiment, a bit as a pilot, at the Stanway Youth Centre in Colchester. So yeah, so that's how it's grown. Like-minded people moving things forward, taking their time, being committed and passionate about it, and connecting with one another, and developing a model that's sustainable and makes a difference.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've had the pleasure of visiting a couple of the provisions through the multi-schools work, because everything that you've mentioned there links into, you know, the multi-school stuff about building relationships and making sure that there's the understanding of the behaviour, not just the reaction to it. And it's really good to hear you speak about it in that way. So could you just tell us a little bit about your role now, Steve?
My role now has developed from being part of the Educational Psychology Service team and being a senior specialist educational psychologist to joining the Extend Strategy and Innovation team, yeah. A bit of a mouthful, which is managed by Ralph Holloway in County Hall. So I sit in that team now. I maintain my practitioner status as a psychologist, but I sit in that team, and my role is around developing and leading our strategy for social emotional mental health across the authority. So I'm connected obviously with the SEND quadrant teams, I'm connected with the educational psychology team, the inclusion partners, our special school partners, and our enhanced provisions like GROW and our special schools that are for children with social emotional difficulties, Langham Oaks, Ramsden Hall, Wells Park, in order that we have a common strategy to support children and young people with such needs. And as part of that, I obviously link up with the Emotional Wellbeing and Mental Health Service, which is part of the National Health in effect, but it's a different service, but we must work closely with those people with social care, in order that we've got a coherent strategy around supporting these children.
You mentioned there about a couple of the schools with the SEMH provisions, and we've done a podcast in series two with Emma from the head at Ramsden, and that was, yes, a really good insight into that school, and also just where you mentioned there about making sure that there's that connection between services. I think, again, when we did the podcast with Claire, she spoke really clearly about the vision to try and tie that up and make that more coherent across the board.
And I think one of the things that that COVID-19 has enabled me to do is to connect with more and more people via this sort of interaction, the Teams interaction, because you can have many more meetings in a day. Yep. Although it's exhausting meeting like this, so you can actually have many more meetings in the day than you could usually do.
Absolutely.
Meeting face to face, you know, and I have made a real effort to connect to lots of as many people as I can, from public health to UMS, as I said, to the mental health school initiative, and so on and so forth during this period. So connectivity, I think, in getting people to share the same message and will hopefully get better impact.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of those ways of getting better impact, I know that you're leading on some TPP training. Can you tell us all about that? Because I think that's going to play a crucial role in schools moving forward.
Yeah, so trauma perceptive practice, that's a bit of a mouthful, but we've put it down to TPP to make it short, is something that has been 8 years in development, because of the amount of time and the amount of reading and the amount of research, and then the amount of just going out there and making sure that it's got some evidence base for it. What I was really clear about is that whatever we do has some evidence to it, that TPP would be practice-based evidence, but also evidence-based practice. We've been developing it for 8 years. It was about 2 years in the writing, and what we've actually come up with is a hard manual to inform their practice. And it's based strongly on a set of values. And the values, which I've alluded to already, are compassion and kindness, hope and connection and belonging. And if we have those values, it really helps to understand behavior and support emotional well-being and mental health. We know that the research out there is unequivocal that what protects all of us when we have storms in our lives is our ability to connect with other people and to have those strong and have relationships with, because that's what pulls us through. As long as those people are compassionate and kind, give us hope and help us to connect and belong. It's when that doesn't happen that actually things can be much more problematical for any of us. When people, for instance, get excluded from school, particularly if you're a teenager, if you get excluded from school and you're a teenager, you still want to connect and belong to something. So you'll go and connect and belong to something else. And it may not be school, but it'll be a gang or it'll be another group of people who may not have the values that your school had, but you'll belong to that. And that can be very damaging if those values aren't helpful. The culture within our schools is absolutely crucial. So when we talk about TPP, what we start with is the whole culture of the school to begin with. So we want schools to have the set of values of compassion and kindness, hope and connection and belonging, and then begin to think about their policies and practice based on those values. Yes. So if any of their policy and practice don't sit with those values, then hopefully that policy and practice will get thrown out and something else will come in that is more compassionate and kind, hopeful, and will help kids connect and belong. So this isn't something that's a quick fix. It's not something that's a magic wand. It's a journey. It's an evolution. And it's around developing staff skills and capabilities, because that's the greatest resource that any school has or any setting has to help young people and to help themselves. So it's a journey through the values and mindset, and then how they care for themselves and one another, which is another strong component of TPP, and then how they actually understand behaviour, how they actually get underneath what's going on for the children and young people, and then be able to support in a way that's helpful and promotes good well-being and good mental health. So that's our vision within TPP. So it starts with a head teacher coming on board, and then getting the senior leadership team on board and starting from that point. But it is now our Essex approach, and we're busy trying to train and get schools interested in this, and we've had lots of interest. And COVID has scuppered our plan, because it's been a storm and it's blown us off track, because we've not been able to train as many people as complete the training as possible. But we'll get back on track. I'm hopeful of that.
Yeah, of course. No, I'm so intrigued just listening to you, Steve, about it all, because from a personal perspective, I can really relate to so much of what you're saying. I was excluded from school myself on a few occasions, not permanently, but there was a few occasions. And actually, now when I reflect back on it, maybe I've matured a little bit, I can look back and actually that connection that you talk about, I've managed to find a connection with education now. I'm very passionate about it, like yourself. And it makes so much sense to me. And I'm really pleased that, you know, Essex have really listened to it and it's going to be pushed out. So everyone always acknowledges that, you know, we may be improving in some areas, but there may be areas that we're not so great in and we need to continue moving forwards. In 5 years' time, Steve, and I know you said it's an evolution and it might even take longer than that, but in 5 years' time, where would you like things to be in Essex with education?
In 5 years' time, I'd be over the moon if we had every school in Essex using trauma perceptive practice to underpin everything they do with regard to understanding behaviour and supporting emotional well-being. That would make me smile and feel very content that actually we've hit everything that we needed to hit with this message. Yeah. And I know at the moment that we're well on the way with the journey. There are so many like-minded people.
Yep.
There's a famous quote somewhere that I really like, which is by Margaret Mead, and it is never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed people can change the world. Indeed, it's the only thing that ever has. So I think we're on this journey, and in 5 years' time, I'd really like schools to be using TPP, developing TPP, because it's never going to sit still. The research is always coming in. And to have practitioners out there who are at the cutting edge of everything we know around emotional support and well-being, and that in Essex we've got schools that can support other schools, We've got schools that can support other schools in the best practice, so that we haven't got in Essex isolated groups of people whose well-being and mental health is being neglected in a way that they're having to seek services that are at the high end of the spectrum in terms of that really intensive support, because that has to be for a very, very few number of people. The majority of people's needs can be met within our local schools and within our local communities. And if we have a healthier school, we've got a healthier community. Yep. And healthy schools will breed healthy communities, and vice versa. So that's my aspiration.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that quote. Was it Margaret Mead, did you say?
Margaret Mead, yeah. Okay. Margaret Mead. If you search that, research that, it's something that keeps me ticking over. That's why it's in the front of all my notebooks. Yeah. I keep a list of quotes that travel with me on my journey.
So do I. Yeah. So, and that's going to be added to my list now, Steve. So thank you very much. I know people listening to this are going to take so much from that. And I'm sure with the hard work that you and everyone else is putting in, that 5-year kind of vision and beyond will be achieved. So thank you very much for your time.
No worries. It's been an absolute pleasure, Kieran.
Cheers. Thanks, Steve.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Everyone is different and special in their own way. We should be including everyone, so let's start today.